Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Forts Comic News, episode 347. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside my co-host, Mike.
Hey.
Come on, Mike.
Nothing. The holiday season is here.
Yeah, that it is.
Got a lot of Christmas books out this week. No interviews. You know, that means top fives are coming soon. Shout out. It's a purchase this week for Harvest of Horrors, Volume 3 came out.
Nice.
Horror anthology book. It's actually available on Amazon. So
yeah, I saw that.
The day it came out, I was pretty happy about that because of reasons. I thought it was going to be Kickstartered, but yeah, it came out on the publisher website as well. So it's published by...
It's Antarctic, right?
Nope, Caliber Comics.
Caliber, okay.
Yep. Shout out to Peter Brow that was on the show. Up in the Great White North.
So, Mike, I bought a book. I bought a lot of books this week, but I bought one I thought you'd be particularly interested in.
Okay, cool.
So we talked about it, but I got Justice League
versus
Godzilla vs. Kong.
Okay.
One.
Open up the book for everybody to hear. So this is the Justice League Godzilla versus Kong special edition book. With a computer chip, when you open it, it should do Godzilla's roar, right?
Oh, there it goes.
Oh. Wow. Then, in fact, for all of you listeners out there that don't watch the video, he did, in fact, open the book. It took a few attempts. He opened the book and it roared. Were you amazed that it worked?
Oh, yeah, because I got it and I immediately did it in the shop and it worked. Yeah. First time.
Do you think that comic shop owners are like, I fucking hate my job this week because everybody's been doing that? They walk up to the counter, they're like, if I have to hear Godzilla roar one more goddamn time.
Well, it's polybagged.
Oh, wow.
So I kept making the joke because the guy who owns our store like is so anti like CGC or any of that stuff. Like,
right.
And I was just giving him shit. I'm like, well, like I can never open it. He's like, why? He's like, it's polybagged, man. It's gonna be worth millions.
You gotta have you gotta buy two issues now. You gotta get polybagged version in. Yeah. Like the joke is Death of Superman was polybagged and that shit is not worth anything.
Not worth shit, yeah.
Yeah.
No. But I'd confirm that exists for you, yeah.
Wow, thank you. Now I can go out and go hunt for my polybags.
Apparently there's two.
Oh.
You know, because one is Kong's Roar as well.
Oh, if I got Kong's Roar, I'd be pissed.
I think they're different covers. So,
okay.
This one has Godzilla on it, but not Kong. So,
okay.
It has Godzilla.
Yeah, it's a really good cover.
And I think the Kong one has Kong.
I think the cover, because I bought the physicals. When things really interest me, I have to buy physicals for it. But I really like the covers, I'll get them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool shit.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a little fun purchase. So I don't actually pay for Barnes & Noble. We're just filling time here, folks. Filling time. Pulling out of thin air behind me here because the bookshelf is behind me. I did make a certain like Christmas purchase in Barnes & Noble. And I don't pay for the Barnes & Noble monthly subscription. My brother-in-law does, and I kind of just mooch off him.
There's a Barnes & Noble monthly subscription?
Yeah, well, it was like $5 a month. It's been around for years, but you get 10% off all books.
Okay.
And not just books, everything at Barnes & Noble. So the Starbucks drinks, the Lego sets, the magic cards, like everything that they sell. So it's a pretty good deal. But I think they're going to be doing away with it in the next year. But they're like, oh, you're such a loyalty member. I had no idea. That they had this little table of books with your purchase that you could go choose from. And this was one of them because it was a foil cover and it's a little tiny book that says Edgar Allan Poe Gothic Tales. But they had all these other classic books there. But I thought this one was really cool because it's
nice.
Shiny and I love Edgar Allan Poe. It's a novel, folks. There's no pictures, but I just thought it was a little... I didn't know they give you like little gifts sometimes when you buy stuff at Barnes & Noble.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, they got to keep people coming to the store. So,
dude, it's so funny. I was reading like a article about marketing recently and about how a lot of these online places and like even some of the physical places,
yeah,
they do all these extra things. And one of them, like a lot of online stores, if you see like the free shipping.
Yeah.
So like, you know, $75 or more and you get free shipping.
Yeah.
And people will spend like all this money just to get free shipping.
Uh-huh.
And they do it for these gifts too, where they put on these like little gifts that are like fucking trinkets that cost the company nothing to do.
Right. Yeah, and you just have to hit a certain order.
Yeah. And yeah. You that or like in that case, it seems like that's kind of a loyalty thing. It's kind of cool.
Right.
That they do that. So I was reading this and then what was it? Last week I ordered some new hats.
Uh-huh.
And it was $50 or above to get free shipping, which is not to give too much away, but hats are really expensive, so that's not that hard to get.
Right.
But it's New Era, so if you spent more than $100, you got a hat keychain, or not keychain, ornament, and it's just a gold hat, and I was just oh my god, how many fucking people have that in their tree right now?
I would do that right now, and I don't even buy that many hats. Want a gold ornament.
What's funny is, so it's because this is a New Era. If it was that like gold like this, but it was like one of my team logos,
I
would have bought another hat.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, if it said Phillies on it, you'd be like fucking buying two of them.
Even though I don't put up a tree anymore because I live alone.
Yeah,
and there's no reason to.
I when I lived alone, I still had a tiny tree that I would put some little stuff on.
The joke is I put up two Christmas ornaments, and it's my life-size Yoda with the Santa hat.
Okay.
He sits right next to my Lazy Boy. And then I put up my Eagles Elf on the Shelf.
Okay. Have you heard of the new Elf on the Shelf this season?
I hit me with it. No.
I purchased them at a local dispensary. I was at a dispensary, and that's where they sell weed, kids. And I hear some guy like checking somebody out saying, oh yeah, that's the Snoop on a stoop. And I was like, what? So I turned around, it's a thing, you go online and find it. It's not the Elf on a Shelf, it's Snoop on a stoop, and it's literally a mini Snoop Dogg dressed as an elf, and he's got a huge blunt.
That's phenomenal.
So I bought it from one of my friends for Christmas, but it was so amazing. I was like, I like stopped immediately what I was doing, and I turned around. I was like, did you just say Snoop on a stoop? He goes, yeah, I did. He held it up. I was like, what the fuck? This is the guy who declared that he stopped smoking last month, by the way. He's so funny, dude. Oh my god.
Dude, the gym I do jujitsu at.
Yeah.
Yeah, losing power here, everybody. Power surge. They put up an Elf on the Shelf, and there's a thing like, I don't know, if you take a selfie with it, you get something. So like, but it's really distracting because like we're doing this move, and I could see people's eyes wandering, and it was weird because it was, what was the move called? It was doing something into an arm bar, but you had to swing your whole body up while they're holding your arm up, around. So I got kicked in the face a lot yesterday.
Nice.
But I'm just like, can we not pay attention to the fucking Elf on the Shelf when you're swinging around my body with my arm in a position where you could just like pull it out of its socket, please?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little more important than the Elf on the Shelf. Oh, my God.
So Elf on the Shelf is probably going to be the reason I come in here injured.
Yeah. Just a casual drop, everybody, that Chris is doing jiu-jitsu if you didn't follow him on Twitter, but that's
oh yeah, we can talk about that on the show.
It's pretty dope. I wish, now that you said that, I just wish I was doing something like that, because I did spend like last week traveling for work and watching kung fu movies. So now I'm like, every time I watch kung fu movies, I'm like, I could do that shit. I probably can't, but I've always wanted to.
It's so funny because like we do this, and it's the only reason I have social media. So like I post this stuff, and like people in my life see it.
Yep.
And bunch of people I know, like friends and everything, have been like, "Oh yeah, like I've been doing this," like just coming out of the stuff they've been doing and just not talking about. And I'm like, "Was I the only one sitting at home doing nothing but eating nachos all day?" Like,
yeah, what the hell?
Because my buddy Jeff, who I went out last night with him and his wife. And he like came out to me. He's like, "Oh yeah, I've been doing like what fucking Dick Grayson does before his parents die."
What, trapeze?
Yeah, trapeze shit.
What?
And I'm just like, Exactly. That's my response. I'm like, when did this, like, how did this come about?
How does that become a hobby?
I just want to do it.
Oh my God.
And he's like, you know, he's probably your age, a little bit younger than me, but not much. And yeah, it was funny. I'm like, so weird. Like, apparently I was the only lazy piece of shit in my life. Nobody just wanted to tell me. They want me to feel bad about it for all those years.
Going to work, getting up and going to work is enough work in itself, man. I don't need to be flying around on trapeze. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
My nephew's been like going to a boxing gym and like
Pretty much have like the Justice League out of people you know. You got one guy who's boxing, you're doing jujitsu.
Yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
One of them comes out to me that they're an alien from Krypton. It's over.
You got it. Yeah, that's amazing. I was a little disappointed to see Invincibles on the this surprise winter break.
Yeah,
and they came back with two episodes of Godzilla Monsters, the Legacy Monarch. Monsters show Monarch. Yeah. And I haven't caught up on those yet, but I have a feeling that's the season's not going to finish before the end of the year. So,
yeah, and I saw that Batman Christmas special's out.
Yes, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, so I want to watch that too.
You know what I did watch this week though, Chris?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Reacher on Amazon? The TV show?
No, but my father really likes that show.
Yeah, my family was watching it and we're like, you got to watch this because the next season comes out next week. I binged it in like 3 days. It's so entertaining. Oh. It's Alan Rickman, who he played Dove in the Titans show, Hawk and Dove. And he's a really famous actor. He's huge. And the story is, you would like it. It's almost like a noir show. He is a old ex military police officer, like investigator. And he's like a drifter now. And he gets caught up in this like scheme going on in a small town outside of Atlanta. And he's like a Sherlock Holmes. Like, he's a way better detective than the cops are. And he starts helping them out, 'cause most of the cops are corrupted. It's really good. But I guess there's a bunch of books about this character, and he like never loses a fight. So like, you're watching the show, he's huge. He's fucking huge. And he, like, the way he talks to people, he's almost like a Terminator. Like, these kids go to jump him, and he's like, you guys just need to turn around. And they're like, why? And he's like, because I'm going to break three of your hands. And the guy was like, well, there's four of us. And he's like, well, one of you still needs to drive to the hospital. And he, like, they literally all throw a punch at him, and he, like, breaks their hands, and, like, he's just fucking huge. Breaks their hands, like, in one move. And then the fourth guy's like, I can drive to the hospital. I can drive to the hospital. Like, runs away. But it's just like super cheesy like that. And I guess it's even worse in the books. Like, when he fights people, it's like he's not even trying. And in the show, like, he's almost like a Terminator, but they do make him more human-like. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's very entertaining.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I've been in full football mode, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So the shows I've been watching are... So they do Hard Knocks in the middle of the season now.
Okay.
Which, anyone doesn't know, that's like a in real time documentary about a football team.
Yeah.
So they've been doing it in the Miami Dolphins. I've been watching that. I decided to rewatch the show Ballers. Did you ever watch that?
Oh no, that's with The Rock, right?
Yeah, show is really good.
I heard it's good.
And one of the other main, so it's The Rock, I forget the comedian that's his co-star.
Okay.
But then the other like football player they follow is the actor who was in Tenet. I don't remember his name, but he's really fucking good in that too.
Cillian Murphy?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And then a bunch of other people you know in that show. So yeah, I've been watching those, and obviously it's football season, so football. Right. Yeah, it's just been...
It's awesome.
Past 2 weeks, it's been all football all the time.
Ballers is one of those shows that I forgot about. I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing.
It's funny because I discovered it after the fact. It got 5 seasons, but like,
wow,
nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
So I think it literally just got 5 seasons because nobody wanted to tell The Rock that it was canceled.
that's like, you go in and tell them, I can't go in. They go in and tell them, they're like, somehow we got another season. Yeah. The Rock's just like, I'll pay for it out of my pocket. I don't care.
Exactly. It's Rob Corddry. That's who is the co-star.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those shows I just wanted to watch it because like I want to see how they fit The Rock into a suit. is when I
very tightly.
Yeah. Like the dude moves once and he's going to fucking tear the thing open.
And they, the first two seasons, they like pick jokes of the fact that he never wears a tie. Cause he's got, you know, it's The Rock. You got to have like part of his chest showing.
Oh my God.
So he like buttons down to like here.
Yeah.
And so his like chest is popping out of it.
Cause they can't close the shirt.
Yeah.
It'll rip.
You can't put a shirt around that neck.
Yeah. What the hell? That's awesome. I do. I got to watch Ballers though.
Yeah. Good show. I recommend it.
All right. Movie news. Deadline Hollywood reports that DC Studios, James Gunn and Peter Safran have found their Maxwell Lord for the new cinematic universe. The report claims that the longtime collaborator with Gunn and brother Sean Gunn will be taking over the role, will be critical for DC's movie story arc. Wow. That's weird.
I don't know about that one.
Isn't he the like Ravager actor in the Marvels?
Yeah.
He's kind of old to be, and like I always pictured like Maxwell Lord is a very young, like handsome looking guy.
And like ripped.
Yeah. So unless this guy can like change his, unless Maxwell Lord is going to be CGI'd monster or like a robot, so, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a report, so it's not official, but if this is true, I think this is a big swing and a miss if you ask me.
Yeah.
I think he's also Weasel. Just
yes, he is.
Put that in everybody's head.
Yeah.
No, and I was reading like he'll be like a Nick Fury-esque character, but for the villains moving forward and all this stuff. So it, I don't know. Maybe they got a take on Maxwell Lord, but
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Maxwell Lord is almost like another Lex Luthor when you think about it.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Except he never went like for the good of people. He was just crazy.
Well, and this definitely confirms like pretty full stop that they're rebooting hard because they already did Maxwell Lord in that Wonder Woman movie we don't talk about.
Oh yeah, they did, huh? Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, that's the one we don't talk about. Yeah. Well, hard reboot for sure. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, like I said, it's interesting. It's fun, like, all the reports and stuff coming out now, and they get debunked pretty quick, and this one's been pretty hush-hush from what I saw.
It could have been just, like, him and his brother having a beer being like, let's fuck with the internet and just put your name out there for Maxwell.
Yeah.
Just to see what they say, you know?
Dude, if I was Gunn, that's what I'd be doing.
Oh, yeah, I'd be fucking with people left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would just send out like flyers to like Variety and everything and be like, oh yeah, like we were thinking about doing Batman, but like he's gonna, and just go on like full spin of like he's gonna be this, like he'll be a
Danny DeVito's looking to play Batman.
It'll be Danny DeVito, but it's actually Danny DeVito as a trans man, and he's like, and just go fucking nuts with it and just like sit back and sip my whiskey and be like fucking idiots on the internet.
Yeah, nobody nobody gets it. Yeah. What the fuck?
And then when it comes out, it's like, no, we're gonna get fucking this
chiseled,
guy to do it.
Chiseled man face to play. Like... There you go. I would totally, especially because of all the rumors he's been debunking, he's probably so sick of it. Like, man, I gotta answer these dumbass rumors every day.
Yeah. And I saw he went on another spiel of like debunking shit.
Yeah.
Much like, it's not in the notes, but much like Ryan Reynolds, I can't even tell what's real or not about that fucking Deadpool movie.
Oh, anymore. I know. He just posts different shit every other day.
Yeah.
You can't keep track of it.
So it just seems like everybody was pent up throughout the strikes.
Yeah.
Because like nothing was happening. And now everybody's like,
I can post everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
All this, what have I been holding out here for months? Oh, yeah. That's happening. This is happening.
Because I think the Mickey Mouse picture for Deadpool is fake.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when I saw that, I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm like, I might actually like Deadpool 3. Just based on the image of like Mickey Mouse in the background and Deadpool holding a bag of money.
Yeah. It's you never know. Like, it could be very self-aware. I could see Disney doing that. Marvel Disney being like, why don't we just play into that?
I guess Ryan Reynolds wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
don't
Disney maybe. I mean, I don't know if you ever look at like when these companies do their like financial reports and everything. But I saw like what they were saying in their meetings and everything. And it's basically just like, yeah, we're not really connecting with people very well.
Yeah.
And some of it was stuff that like I don't want to get into, but they basically admitted that like what they're doing isn't working. So it could be that they're like, just Ryan, just do whatever you want. Make us look good, please.
Yeah. Just make a Deadpool movie that you'd want to watch.
We just need Deadpool to end up in the MCU at the end of this. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Just some shit in between. And he just shows up.
Yeah.
So we're getting to the comic news now. This is pretty interesting. When I did see this, Mark Millar announced a big change for his imprint Miller World and its future. For over a decade, all of Miller's books have been published to Image Comics and before that Marvel Comics imprint Icon. And starting in 2024, all of his titles have moved to Dark Horse. All new series will be printed, starting with a new Nemesis title called Nemesis Rogues Gallery, and they'll be reprinting previous series, including a slew of omnibuses. Also, his stuff's being pulled from Netflix too, right? I think like
was he that parted part
ways.
Of it?
Yeah, I think he parted ways with Netflix too. I'm not sure though, because I don't know if Dark Horse is associated with any streaming service.
Well, I don't think Image is really associated either.
Yeah. But I thought
I thought they bought Miller.
Yeah, I thought they bought all his titles. So I think he stated that the stuff at Netflix is gonna stop too, but I don't know. I thought I saw that.
Let's see. He said on Twitter, huge news, I'm moving the entire Miller World Netflix catalog over to our friends at Dark Horse. That
includes the whole Netflix catalog, which to Dark Horse, which is weird, right? Like,
I think
just what they purchased. Maybe it was that
Miller World is a shared universe created by the writer to encompass this huge blah, 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 blah. It was sold to Netflix in 2017, and the streaming giant has produced TV shows, several properties, including Jupiter's Legacy. And an answer to... An answer to a fan question about whether this meant Netflix has parted ways with the imprint, Millar clarified, no. I work as an executive at Netflix, and they own the entire Millar World catalog. The artist and I sold them to the company in 2017. They own it like Disney owns Marvel, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. I think the company is just... I don't know why they say it like that in the beginning, like, or why he stated it, the entire Millar Netflix catalog.
Yeah, so maybe they still have the rights to make shows, but, like, he can make new characters at a different publisher? That's weird. Or it's the same character, but, huh. Just weird.
It seems strange to me because... So he sold it all.
Yeah.
But then he
could sell this again.
Well, he's an executive at Netflix, so it makes sense why he'd keep creating for it because he gains the benefit three times over.
Right.
He does. Yeah. It's interesting. I think Dark Horse is making some big strides. I like that Dark Horse got fucked multiple times over, mostly actually probably entirely by Marvel.
Yeah,
by taking Star Wars and then Predator and then Alien, and then the list goes on and on.
Right.
And they had to shift, and they've done a good job of it with their turning into a creator owned.
And this is huge. Company. Like, this is good. I'm going to be reading every book that they put out of this. So
this is gigantic. It's going to be weird to see that Dark Horse Comics logo on this stuff.
But it's cool, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then this Nemesis book, like, I'm obviously excited for this, as I know you are.
Yep. And it's funny because last time we saw him, he was dead. So now it looks like he's being resurrected.
Wasn't dead. He was just in the cast.
Yeah. He was in the full body cast. So now he's a mummy. And
I was thinking this gives off a Lazarus Pit.
But... Yeah. I was literally, that's because instead of green, it's red.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think he's going to find some sort of healing agent to get him back pretty soon. Yeah.
He's gonna be like Wolverine. Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm excited for it.
As am I.
Boom Studios announced a new series from writer Kyle Starks and artist Fran Gallen titled Pine and Merrimack. The series will arrive in January of 2024. It's about a former homicide detective and her husband, a former MMA fighter, who opened up a detective agency. Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. So, Kyle Starks is a weird dude, man.
Yeah.
Not
something I would be interested in. Just going to say that.
I don't know. Like, I think we get Boom stuff, so I'll check it out.
Yeah.
But I need more than like two people own a detective agency to.
Yeah, right. You have a fighter and a old cop.
Yeah, like what style of the? I mean, I assume it's gonna be some sort of noir.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like—a noir book.
So I'm sure I'll be interested in that alone. But then, you know, what's the hook? Is my question.
Yeah, it's got to get you reading more issues.
But I've been writing down names, Mike, for 2024, and nice. With Starks continuing to do stuff, I think it's time to give him a call and get him back on.
Get that weird guy on here. This is fun for me. IDW and Toho announced a new. There's a lot of Godzilla stuff coming up lately. New Ology's Godzilla graphic novel coming next year, titled Godzilla Monster Island Summer Camp. Look at that art, amazing. This OGN will be written by Rosie Knight, with art by Oliver Ono, and is about a young girl, Zelda, who is an aspiring cartoonist who goes away to summer camp just to discover the camp is on Monster Island. Awesome. I'm going to read that shit.
And then a elf boy named Link saves her.
Yeah, right. I think it's hilarious that, like, I'm getting, like, Studio Ghibli vibes from the art.
Yeah, 100%. The art's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
And I always... It's funny because... I think a lot of Toho and like Godzilla fans don't like the like Son of Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I fucking love that movie.
Oh yeah. People love the Son of Godzilla. Yeah. Yeah. Baby Godzilla.
So it sounds interesting. Like I'll check it out probably if I could fit it into the whole repertoire, but I love the art here. I love that character. I think it's an underused character.
Oh yeah.
So it sounds cool.
Yep. I'm in.
He's in.
Yeah, I mean, it's got Godzilla on the cover. Oni Press announced that they have teamed up with Nacelle Company to bring their IP to comics with what they are calling the Nacelleverse. Wow. The first comic announced... do you know what Nacelle is?
It's a production company that owns all these IP.
Okay.
Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, I got you. Same idea. Yeah. The first comic announced is one-shot 48-page giant titled Nacelleverse. Number Zero features stories from classics like The Biker Mice from Mars, Roboforce, Sectaris, Power Lords, and The Great Garlo. Dude, are these like the dollar store knockoffs of like all the great cartoons? Yes. This is part of their overall plan to bring these series back to life in many different media outlets. A few have been greenlit for new animated series with the help of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Ryan Reynolds. This is the craziest, like these characters just look insane.
Did you never watch Biker Mice from Mars?
Dude, no. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. That was, that's like one of those edgy 90s cartoons.
Really?
When like Street Sharks was coming out.
Oh, my God.
And it was after the boom of TMNT.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know that one. And I've heard of Roboforce.
I've definitely heard of Roboforce.
But the other ones I'm not too sure of. And like these... These images are so funny to me.
What the hell?
Like, yeah, it's strange. We'll see. I think we're seeing a boom again with like some of these old cartoons, and now that people are like old enough where they're you know, my age, your age, where those cartoons are like making a comeback.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, yeah, dude, this is the type of edge that Biker Mice from Mars gave you. It's just leading to like see what in the market will hit.
Yeah.
And a lot of the creators, like I'm sure Ryan Reynolds grew up on some of this stuff, and that's why he wanted to do Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'll
probably check this out.
I will 100% check this out just to see what's going on here.
Yeah. Some of these characters look ridiculous.
Because I'm disappointed that Hanna-Barbera went to Dynamite because I don't think that Dynamite's going to like do what DC was doing with them.
Yeah, no way.
But there are like cartoons that I watched when I was younger that I would like to see get resurrected in some way. Like,
oh, for sure.
And Biker Mice from Mars was one. I'm like, I remember loving that. Like that Street Sharks, if those came back, I would be all over it just to see like what we're doing with them now.
Yeah, Street Sharks is one that I loved.
Yeah. But, and I don't know what this dude is here, but
I don't know either.
I don't remember. I, to be fair, if something in here is Biker Mice from Mars and I don't recognize it, it's because I watched it when it was coming out and then moved on to the next thing. So it's not like I'm a huge fan of it.
You just remember enjoying it.
Yeah, I just remember like this edgy dude right here.
Yeah, with the Harley. The Harley on Mars. Nice.
It's so it's so funny. And then like, you know, dime store Transformers.
Yeah, literally. That's why I said dollar store. You go in a dollar store and they have like the He-Man Transformer knockoffs. It's amazing.
And then apparently this dude is the Great Garlou or whatever the fuck he was called.
Uh-huh.
And everybody kept telling me like, oh yeah, because I heard about it. And everybody's like, oh yeah, you know that one. Like, you've seen it. I've never seen that image before in my life.
Me either.
Oh, I have no idea who the fuck that is.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, no idea.
I do like this little gremlin dude here who might be the same guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Is that the same dude? Is that the Great Garlou?
It's so funny.
Wow. All right, let's talk about what we read this week. I read quite a few books.
I think we have a lot of crossover this week.
Did you read Stuff of Nightmares? Your Christmas episode, the Christmas special?
No.
That was R.L. Stine. And so it's Stuff of Nightmares, Sleigh Ride, plus Bach on the art. It was about a killer, crazy Santa, like department store Santa that just like got fired and went off the rails. It was really good. It was a really good issue. He like goes into a family's house with a chainsaw and stuff, like, you know, classic shit.
Nice. I mean, we have it in our review Dropbox, but I just didn't get to it this week. I did like the Stuff in Nightmare series when
I haven't read any of that yet, but I grabbed the Christmas issue.
It's really cool. It's like very Frankenstein inspired. So
cool.
Yeah.
Creepshow holiday special. So this is like Kraus, Asmus, and Wayshack and Kondanichi. It's usually four different people on the books. Amazing cover if you check that out, the Creepshow holiday special one. It was just two really good creepy stories about the holidays. One was like these kids were like bullying their little sister, saying that like, oh, you've never heard of like this monster that comes and like it takes your socks or it like cuts your feet off or something. They were trying to like scare her, and at the end of the issue, like it comes and like takes the older brother away and cuts his feet off, and she's like laughing about it. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. I'm really liking Creepshow though. They're doing a great job. Fantastic Four number 14. This is North and Fiorelli on the art. After all this, these last couple volumes, there's this main story of like the Fantastic Four's children have been missing for a year because to save them, they propelled the whole Baxter Building a year in advance, so like it'll reappear as a year goes by. And so they go to wait at the building because it's like the countdown for it, and someone has started like building like onto the area where like you can't build here because the building's going to appear out of nowhere. So they go through this like side quest of there's this like AI app that's on the loose, and it's like causing people to do random shit and control the future. So like they you know take care of that, and then they're like, okay, 10 seconds till the building shows up, and they count it down, and then surprise, the building doesn't show up. So it's like, okay, now what do we have to do to find our kids? And that's how it ends.
So the building was sent into the future?
Yeah, so the whole building with everybody in it, including their kids, was propelled into the future 1 year.
Okay.
To save them from like a, it was about to be destroyed. They're like, okay, we got to save them. So they moved it into the future 1 year. So they're going to, they're waiting. They've been waiting for the year to pass for when they'll show up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's
interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. It's Fantastic Four science, you know. The Wrong Earth, We Could Be Heroes, number 2. Tom Parrish, Mile Eagle on the art. So this is a good, you know, we get a whole group of Dragonfly people and sidekicks to show up and save the like mayor and the constable who were dressed up trying to be heroes. they saved them, and then they what they did is use the mirrors, the dimensional mirrors, to travel all around that Earth and take out all the villains that are in places of power. And they say, okay, well, now that we use the mirrors, we can destroy them and then go home and to go back to their respective universes. Then they try to go and they get stuck again. So now they're stuck on the wrong Earth as a team. But now they have like a Nightwing character. They have a character that's like a Robin, but he's black. And like, they definitely like are aware of like, oh, like they did a great job. And the constable is like, yeah, and you made your people look so good. And like, the black Robin gets really pissed and like walks out the room because they're like, what did I say something wrong? Because, you know, they're like a 60s Batman universe and they're like, that stuff isn't insensitive to say back then. He's like, I just want to get some of the regular Earth. But like, you know, DC did the same thing with Luke Fox and stuff like that. So DC, yeah, not Disney. But I think it's a good issue. That was actually the final issue out of the two. And then we're going to get into another one shot that's coming. All right. So, Chris, this whole Titans Beast World shit. Did you read any of those issues this week?
No, because I decided with this one, I'm just doing the main series.
So you might be onto something here. So let me explain what happens. They give you a list in the issues to read what's next. The next one is Titans Beast World Waller Rising number one. With Brown and Grant. Can I tell you the art is atrocious?
Okay.
The art's really good. I'll say this. I don't believe the artist is not talented. I'm sorry, Grant, but your art does not really work for this book. If you look at their finger, like he can't draw hands uniformly. And like this whole issue revolves around, I wanted to read it because Val Zod was on the cover. So apparently Val Zod and Red Tornado, Lois Lane, have been trapped in the Phantom Zone since the John Kent Ultraman stuff. This issue, it revolved around Dr. Hate, so I thought it was going to be like an important issue. It doesn't say like who Dr. Hate was, why Waller hired Dr. Hate, but Dr. Hate's going around collecting people to go into this kingdom. He's like trapping them and sending them to the kingdom. The kingdom seems to be where like the Red, the Parliament of Red, and all the parliaments like meet together, but he's been sending heroes there and then using the Parliament of Red to like trap them. So what happens is Waller hires Deadshot. He like thwarts this whole plan. He was going to destroy the kingdom. He doesn't destroy it. Waller traps Dr. Hate all in this issue and thwarts Dr. Hate's plan. So I think this issue was only put in place to be like, okay, we know that there's a Dr. Hate storyline. We're going to put it on ice while this whole Beast World thing resolves, because you don't see any beasts at all in this issue. You don't see any heroes turning to beasts. You don't see any of that. Whatever. You take it or leave it. It was not an important issue.
I was looking at the ones coming out this week today as you're all listening. And there's been previews up of them and everything. One's Titans Beast World Gotham.
Uh-huh.
And it's literally just like, you know, these characters you like, here they are. But they're hybrid animals now. So it's like, it's Batman, but he's a bat. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. It's so
like, I don't know.
There was no animal hybrids in this issue. And then we get to the issue with, so I was starting to read it. Titans Beast World Metropolis number one. And I opened it up and it immediately says the events of this book take place after Beast World issue two. Beast World issue two does not come out until next week, Chris. So I immediately closed the book and said, well, I'm just going to wait until next week to read this issue. Why would you have this issue come out before that issue? It's very confusing the way they do that.
I will give them credit, though. At least they said that in the front of the book.
Yeah, that's true.
They usually do that at the end of the book, and I'm just like, why did you spoil a book for me?
Yeah. So I immediately closed the book because I don't want to know what's going to happen if they're going to reference things in issue two.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. So I was like, I'll just wait.
Which I think comes out this week. Today, as you're all listening to this.
Yeah, it's a weekly thing, so, or every other week. But anyways, Batman, Santa Claus, Silent Night, number one, Parker and Bandini. Yes. I really love the issue. They go with the whole, like, Santa and Krampus are like magical, mystical people. that are both trapped on Earth. One likes to terrorize kids, one likes to give kids toys. And there's also like other mystical beasts that Santa is in charge of like capturing and slaying. And then we find out Krampus is on the loose on Earth, and they have to find him. And it was, the art was really good. I thought the story was a lot of fun. It's a weekly book. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the like Norse mythology background for Santa.
Yep.
The book's just fun. Like, it's not groundbreaking or amazing. No, it's just a blast.
Yeah.
Weird vampire things show up. Like Krampus appears. We get Santa on a reindeer coming into Gotham, and he's friends with Batman. Like, it's fun. If you like Christmas stories and want something that's lighthearted, this is it. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Batman 140, Chip Zdarsky, Jimenez on the art. There it is. It's Batman. The regular Batman's trapped in his own mind, but he's fighting all the Zurnars, which was a great few pages because he's like fighting like the Michael Keaton Batman, and then he's fighting 60s Batman for a little bit, and he's fighting, and he defeats 60s Batman with his crazy utility belt, right?
His anti-bat shield razors.
His anti-bat shield razors, like that.
I love that.
That panel alone made me love Zdarsky. And the whole, he's like fighting the whole reenactment of like the Dark Knight Returns scene was amazing. Great issue. And then what happens is Batman wakes up after like winning or losing the fight, and it looks like that the Zurnar mind has been put into Failsafe, the robot that was from the last series with Zdarsky. So we have like Zurnar Batman is now in a robot, which is crazy. All of the minds of Zurnar.
Yeah. This issue is insane.
Yeah.
I think not only is it well written and how it's like paced and everything.
Yeah.
But Jimenez is awesome.
His art. Yeah. Because, his art is amazing.
Well, all the different Zurnars, as you know, like he does them in the style of the books that they're in. So like the Dark Knight Batman's in the style of Frank Miller and all that. And it's just, he kills it on it. And just the way, because the whole issue is basically him having an internal struggle in his mind.
Yeah.
But it's just done so well. I'm so happy Batman's like back.
Yeah. Oh my God. So it's really happy. Good.
And I thought the B story was cool too with Vandal Savage.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's where he's now the police commissioner after like talking with the billionaires.
Yeah. They have a plan to make him the police commissioner because he like gets into the society of rich people.
Yeah.
And like kill somebody in front of them.
They're like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay. You can hang with us. And then I had Shazam number 6, but I realized I missed a few pages at the end there because I started reading it and then I had to put it down. But from what I mean, we knew that Freddy was never going to be evil, right? So that's kind of how it starts off with him being like, okay. And then Billy asked to be what he asked for, all the wisdom from the wizard.
From Solomon. Yeah.
From Solomon. Yeah. So that's kind of where I left off.
Oh, they're doing this book so well because it's a serious book and they're doing serious things, but then they add in some of the humor. Like once again, the monocle wearing T-Rex who like is wearing paperwork is in this.
Yeah. He jumps in through the, I do remember that.
Yeah, they turn Zeus into a duck.
Yes.
And the way it ends, like they, he gets the wisdom from Solomon, which helps him defeat the gods. And they set up the next story arc, which I know I'm going to love because it's that T-Rex's people are coming to Earth because he took too long on the paperwork.
Oh my God, I knew it.
And they land they come down to Earth and they enter the airspace of Kandak. So,
oh no,
Black Adam shows up. This book is awesome, man. This is the Shazam book we deserve.
Yeah, Mark Waid's killing it, man. It's so good.
And I still don't understand how Dan Moore is doing this and World's Finest at the same time.
Yeah,
I don't think the man sleeps.
Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah,
but.
Because I honestly thought one of those books would suffer.
Yeah, right.
because I mean, it, most artists nowadays can't do one book
right
a month. He's doing two.
Right. I know. I don't know how he does it.
It's insane.
It's like two and a half pages a day or something he's working on.
So a few things from last week. They'll do quick, but Marvel Zombies, Black, White, and Blood, number 2, came out. And it was really cool. We get like Beta Ray Bill as he's like, he watches all of the Asgardians die, and he like gets on his ship and he just continues. He basically saves a bunch of people, puts them on a ship, and they just make their way through space and time during the zombie apocalypse.
Oh,
that was a fun story. And the intro story was Reed Richards. So he has to go onto this this building, and he has 9 days to figure out how to cure the zombie plague. And he goes there, and he thinks he's figured it out and all this stuff. And the entire time they're showing like the other Fantastic Four dropped him off. They had to leave so that he could only focus on this.
Yeah.
And everything. And the end of the story is basically that they were dead the whole time, and actually he got bitten. And as he discovered how to cure it, he turns.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was a cool story. And then I had Captain America number 3, which was probably my favorite issue so far. But it had, so the present day story was about this guy who's been killing people around New York City, and he has to work with Doctor Strange to figure out what's going on. And I think we're finally getting the connective tissue between now and the 1930s.
Okay.
Because something there happens that connects to those old Nazi groups in the 30s that Steve was fighting throughout. And we find out that like their next target is Captain America. And then back in the 30s, we find out that Steve was like constantly going to these Nazi rallies and just trolling them.
That's awesome.
And then he gets kicked out every time, and then finally like the mafia in town finds him and is just like, we think we can help you. And you end up finding out that the guy in charge of the mafia is Jewish, so he has like a very reasonable ulterior motive
right
to help him out. And yeah, and then there's a character there that kind of connects to what's going on in the modern. So it's a pretty good issue.
Yeah.
Midnight Show number 3.
Nice.
Another fun issue. I think that I'm pretty sure it's only 4 issues, because the way this ends, there's some sort of ceremony that the monster has to do to be like the god of the monsters. And this issue is just the kids walking around with Van Helsing, and they just like run into different monsters, and then another monster shows up. So we get to see like they're not officially called this, because there's some trademarks here, but it's the swamp creature, and then the wolfman shows up and they fight, and then they run into Frankenstein and he gets into a fight with the mummy. And then we find out at the end, like as it should be, Dracula has figured out what to do, and he's going to be the god of the monsters, but he has to like finish the ceremony to do it. This book's a blast. It's so much fun.
That's funny.
And then I had Thunderbolts number 1.
Oh boy.
The Hive Mind is back.
Yeah.
So this is a get the team together issue. I guess this is only a 4 issue series, but it follows Bucky as he's like trying to get the team together. And his whole motive is that he wants to finally kill the Red Skull once and for all. So the funny part is that at the end they do end up killing the Red Skull, but it's a guy masquerading as the Red Skull. So the whole series is going to be them going after Red Skull. So I'll be interested to see if they actually kill Red Skull. But there's two things I really liked, which was they didn't shy away from Red Skull's heritage. Like now that the order that Bucky and Cap took out during Lanza and Kelly's Cap run are gone, he's come out and like full on back to being a Nazi.
Oh wow.
He even has like soldiers that are from old Captain America comics in the 60s and 70s. where they're just super soldiers with giant swastikas on their chest.
Oh my God.
So I was having a blast because it's just Bucky and the Destroyer. And then Red Guardian shows up at one point, and it's just them just like taking out fucking Nazis.
That's awesome.
And Bucky is at the point where he's just like, it's kind of like the old why doesn't Batman kill the Joker thing, where he's just like, listen, the Red Skull has done terrible things. He's this awful person. Like, we just need to be done with him.
Right.
So I really like the issue, and I think it's pretty easy for somebody who's not familiar with Thunderbolts to jump into, because it's not really the real Thunderbolts, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you need to follow the Cap stuff. They mention it a few times, but I think you could easily follow along. So if you're a Lansing Kelly fan, it's a really good book. And then I pulled out some books. I was looking through my closet of like books I bought, and I bought this like last year, and I decided to read it. And it's Stephanie Phillips' Nuclear Family.
Okay.
And it was a pretty good book. It's about this family in the 50s, and their town gets attacked by the Russians with nukes.
Okay.
And because reasons, their house gets transported 10 years into the future.
Oh, that's wild.
In a zone that the Soviets just kept bombing. So it's just irradiated. They get found, and they get accused of being like spies and everything. They find out there's an underground, that the United States has been wiped out and turned to a wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny reading this, because we had just talked about Fallout.
Yeah.
And it's got some Fallout vibes, because America's a wasteland, and it's, you know, all that. And then, long story short, like, they have to go back in time to fix everything and all this stuff. But it was a good book. It was fun. It might be hard to find because it's an Aftershock book, and I don't know what the state of Aftershock is right now.
Hmm.
But I enjoyed it, and good 5 issues. Awesome art throughout it. Who did the art? Tony Chastain did the art, and he killed it. And it's a pretty quick, simple read. I actually read it in one sitting, so
that's awesome.
Good Stephanie Phillips book. And then, Mike, we've been talking a lot about trying new things.
Okay.
And, friend of the show, Pat Shand, when he was on the show, convinced me to try one of his Not Safe for Work series.
Okay.
Sold it to me as a sitcom set in a strip club.
Yeah.
And that is Private Dance #1.
Okay.
Long story short, Mike, I've confirmed that I don't like Not Safe for Work books. I think it's okay. Like, it's well written, it's well drawn, everything. It's just not for me. There's some sitcom-y things. Like, we follow this character, it's her job, so it's like a workplace comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the weird stuff that happens. I'll say, I don't know about you, Mike. I'm not much of a strip club guy, but I have been to a few. And I don't know what ones Pat's been going to, but I'm pretty sure those things aren't happening around here.
Yeah. Because
there's a lot of like back room, you know, grabbing of things and stuff happening.
Well, that happens in Vegas, I think.
Well, it's set in New York, Mike, so that's why I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I know they can be very sketchy. Not that I've ever experienced that, but who knows? Yeah.
To be fair, I've never, because
I
have better ways to throw my money away.
Yeah,
I've never paid to go to the back room, but
I never have frequented them that much to know that. So,
So, like I said, if that's your thing, I don't think it's a bad book. I don't think it's like poorly written or anything. I just think, once again, I don't know, there's something about that, in my storytelling that's a turnoff to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not be continuing to read this.
Yeah, I get it. It's not really something I care for either.
Yeah. But I am happy. I actually was talking to another friend of the show, Travis Gibb, about it, where I feel like every so often I need to dive into these things that I don't normally dive into, to see, because as we grow older, we change.
Mm-hmm.
And to see if maybe my perspective on them has changed, or if there is something there that I enjoy. And I don't know, maybe in 10 years I'll like nudie comics. I don't know.
When you're an old man. Yep. For sure.
But Mike, that was everything I read this week. So where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you under the show?
You can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter. Also at Substack at Substack.com. I'm sorry, ChrisComicsCorner.substack.com. I'm going to fuck that up for weeks, so give me a chance here.
You'll get used to it.
And you can find the show at FortressComics_ on Twitter or at FortressComicNews.com. Best ways to support the show, 5-star reviews on podcatchers, go on the YouTube, like, subscribe, share, comment down below, and then patreon.com/fortresscomics. Thank you all so much for watching and for listening this week. We'll see you all here next time.